It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read from the first verse down through the end of the chapter, verse 26. So we're going to have a lot of reading today. So I hope that you have your Bibles open, and I hope that you're ready today to read and enjoy the precious Word. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit us at our website, it would be parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the reading today. We're going to begin reading now at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is them is, in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me golds of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. So gods of silver, neither gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou build up thy tool upon it, if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereof. Let's begin with prayer now after we've read God's precious word. It's a wonderful opportunity to hear the word of God and to begin and be a part of this study. So please, let's ask Lord to bless it. Father, now please that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will today. It is so important, dear Lord, that we know your will. And so each day, every day, we should focus upon this day. Yes, make plans for tomorrow, but don't waste today thinking of tomorrow, or don't waste today being concerned about something that happened yesterday. We need to focus upon today and build our lives upon you, Lord Jesus. Please that we have the mind of Christ, that we walk with you each and every day. Please. Take your word now as we look through this law and look at what it has to say to us and for us, that you will direct us every step of the way, that we know your way and will, and we depend upon it, and we know it to be true, and we know it to be the right way, and it will change our lives and make us more like you, Lord Jesus. So please today, take your word and commit it to our hearts. Now, first of all, we must surrender to you, and that's being born again, coming by faith to you and inviting you into our hearts to be our Savior and begin this wonderful, perfect fellowship and relationship that we need to have. So please, dear God, today, please, that you will guide and lead us and bring those that are lost and separated from you with their sin, that they'll confess their sin and come to you today and walk with you. And please, that we will grow in you each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a lot of reading to do today, and it takes some time, but I think it's very important that we did go just a little bit further than we usually go in reading. We had gotten, last time we were together, all the way to the 18th verse, and so to reread these verses, why it took some time, but again, I think it's important that we read the Word of God, because that's where the power and that's where the strength is found. Now, we have what we know as the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to begin very quickly here and list those as we come down through these verses of Scripture. We find the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now that's, if we can do that, all the rest of them are nothing. All the rest of them are already answered if we could just do that one. And I hope that you understand that I'm not taking away from any of the other scripture verses, but if we could just fulfill this response, we fail here. And if you fail here, then you fail all the rest of them. Oh, don't you see, my friend, why we need a Savior? Why we need Jesus Christ, our Lord, to come into our hearts and to save us and to guide and lead us? Don't you see? It's so clear, and we need to understand that you can't save yourself, that's for sure. All right, first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Number two. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Now, we're going to back up here because we'd read last week through, the last time we were together, through the 17th verse. But now, today, we'll start with this sixth commandment. We had gotten down to that place this past time we were together. And so actually, we're just starting at the 14th verse, the seventh commandment. And the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Sex outside of marriage in God's eyes is forbidden. And so that is the seventh. The eighth is thou shalt not steal. That's pretty straightforward. We just have to earn and work for what we have. And, you know, when we look at the thou shalt not steal, too, that is quite a broad area because what happens if you are working for your employer, but you just write down on your timesheet that it's 4:30 and it's actually just 4:15, that's stealing. We don't think about it that way. You show up 5 minutes late, but you still write in 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and you see that's stealing. If you take a 45-minute lunch break, and instead of being 45 minutes, it's actually an hour, and you write down the other, it's stealing. You know, it's important that we give to our employers. It's the same each time when we're looking at any kind of work anywhere, no matter whether you're the boss or the employee, it doesn't matter. We need to give a person an honest day's work for an honest charge, and we need to pay properly too. And so it's important that employers pay their employees properly, that the employees give the proper amount of work and an honest time. Everyone needs to do what is right. You know, you think of, I'm not going to steal to go in to break into a store or shoplift or something like that. But you see, there's much more to that. And it's the same thing with the one that's above that in verse 14, the seventh commandment. You know, you look upon someone and lust after them. It's the same as committing adultery. Oh, my friend, we need a Savior because we're wicked. Our old minds, our old lives, my, do we need a Savior. And so we need someone to save us from this sin that possesses us and controls our lives. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. So please trust in Jesus today. The next, the ninth, is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Always be truthful. Always be kind and considerate. Always be truthful. There is a way to speak. And here when it says a neighbor, that basically involves everyone, whether it's family or your next door neighbor or the guy that's across town or a guy that's across the country. Be truthful. Do not lie. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness is idolatry, to covet something is to worship it. And you see, we get all the way back to this the very first and second command. God shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And so we get all the way into being an idolater. Instead, here we're talking about coveting something, but it's really no different. Once again, my friend, don't we need a Savior? Don't we need someone to come into our heart and save us and set us free? Because we're wicked we're so wicked. Our mind, our lives, everything. And so we're dealing here with God's command. We're not to kill. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. We're not to lie. And we're not to covet. That just kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Now, as we looked last time, we were looking at two different sections to an extent here. It's all God's word. It's all God's command. It's all God's law. But the first section covers man's relationship to God. Man's relationship to God. Now, the second, and it starts in the fifth command, and that now is man to man, the relationship of man to man. And so it all pleases God when we do His word and do His work. Even though we desperately fail, we should always try to do His will and do His way. Now, we have finished now those Ten Commandments, and again, we will continue to work on those. We have the Ten Commandments, the law. You could call it the moral code, as some have called it. But there is more to this than just this moral code. There is also the law, and I'm going to call it the moral law. There is also a social law. And then there is the law of the altar and the tabernacle. Now, when you think of the law, you think of a certain speed limit, certain things. There's so many laws. You know, they've said that the volumes and volumes of laws that this land of ours that have developed to supposedly keep us safe and keep us honest. No one can interpret the law, kind of like the IRS doing our taxes. It's so complicated that nobody can do it. Two people can't do it the same way, and one isn't maybe any more right or wrong than the other. This is simple. It is clear, and God's word is right. Man complicates things. God doesn't. God gives it clear, and He gives it simple. But there is ways or laws concerning the altar and the tabernacle. Now, Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, really gives us a full look at the operations, the service of the tabernacle. And we'll get to that at another time. But right now, we're going to begin to look at some activities and some things that need to take place. And we're going to find it here beginning with the 18th verse. The 18th verse of Exodus chapter 20, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." It scared them, didn't it? You know, they were such an ungodly people, lived in Egypt for so long, but they were so ungodly. And now we find that as we are here and we're looking at the activities that's going on now, we need to see that there is quite a list of activities that's going on here. But the difference is that they are being approached one-on-one with God. And so now they have an opportunity to do two things. Number one, God didn't just pull Moses off to the side and whisper to Moses what was to be done. Do you remember what He did? He called the people unto the mount so that they would hear Him speak to Moses. God wanted them to know, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, to know that God, that Moses, his directions, his plan was not his. His directions and his plan was from and directly spoken to him by God. And so here we have the first time that God is speaking to these people, and yet it terrifies them. We don't want to be this close. We're going to die. Now, why did they think they were any different than Moses? They heard some things here. They wanted the law, and what they heard here was the law. But what they found was the law of the Lord is perfect, and it demands perfection. And so for the first time did they see who they were and how filthy and how dirty they were. And that's what happens today oftentimes when we come into the house of God. The service is held and the music is sung and the preaching is taken care of, and you go home and you shake the preacher's hand and you say, boy, that was a good job, good job. But it didn't touch you. It didn't penetrate your heart. You're not fearful of anything or anybody. And worst of all, you're not fearful of God. God is a holy, just God, and God demands perfection. Now, he knows we can't fulfill that. We cannot be perfect. And so what he has given us is his Son, the Lord Jesus. His Son died. The Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that we can live. God loves us that much that he gave his only begotten Son. And you need to trust in him. But even for you and I that know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our sin is forgiven, is taken as far as the east is from the west away from us, we still, when we hear the Word of God, should be fearful. We should shake in our boots when we hear the Word of God, because he is a just God. We have a loving God that saved us. But I'm afraid that when we come before him, we hear his word read, we hear these commands, we look at the life we should lead, it should terrify us. And we should fall on our face before a living God and say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for taking my sins away from me, because, oh, I would have no choice but to spend eternity in the lake of fire if it wasn't for you. Thank you, dear God. These people here heard the word of God and it scared them. And they backed away when they saw the smoke and they heard the voice. And they says, you know, don't let God speak to us again. Let him speak to you and then you speak to us. That's how they were affected by it. Instead of being thankful for what was offered to them, the plan of salvation. And that had been a picture from the beginning with Adam and Eve. There was the sacrifice was brought with Cain and Abel, and Abel's was the proper sacrifice because it brought and represented the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It presented the blood, and that never changed. And you see, that picture had always been in place, but some 1,500 years has passed. In that 1,500 years, they had walked a long way away from God. And I'm afraid in this land, in this country, even in the short life of this country, we have walked a long way away, and we need to return. God was calling his people back. And so the law of the Lord is perfect. That's what we've just received. It demands perfection. So if you are planning on being saved by the law, in other words, being good, you need to be good, more than good. You need to be perfect. You need to be perfect if you expect to please God. Now, anything short of perfection, and that is one time, one failure, one mishap, just one thing, you're done. Now, I hope you can see that you've got to trust in Jesus. Please stop trying to work your way. We are saved by grace and grace alone. We are not saved by any work that we can do. Some have added baptism. Many have added just their instruction time. As long as they go through their instruction time and as long as they're faithful to the church, that's good enough. That's good enough for the world, but that's not good enough for God. God demands perfection. He demands it. And if you're adding any of your abilities and any kind of works to this equation, you're going to fail. You need to come by faith. God saves us by His grace. We need to accept and realize, recognize that we're dying in our trespasses and sins, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So please today, please, that you see Jesus. You see Him as your Savior, and you know Him personally. Please today that you do that. I just ask that you don't miss this opportunity. Stop trying to work your way. And few churches preach the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection. They speak of it. They talk about the crucifixion. They talk about the resurrection. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they do not talk about the sin that needs to be dealt with. They do not talk about how to be saved. And I hope today that you're listening, and I hope today that you respond. Please come by faith to Jesus Christ today. Trust in Him. He says, Larry, how? Call. Just call upon Him. Say, I am a poor sinner. My heart is convicted of my sin. I need You, Lord Jesus. Please come into my heart and save me. That's how. And by you acknowledging and knowing that the Spirit of God is convicting your heart, that gives you the power and the ability to be saved. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit does the work. It's nothing you or I can do. But if you're being convicted of your sin right now by the reading of those Ten Commandments, and you know that you're not going to be able to fulfill them, you know that you have failed, so desperately failed, then it's so important that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today for salvation. Please that you do that today. You must. You have to. We have these Ten Commandments. We have these people that are afraid to come before God. I hope that you're afraid to come before your God, before our God. You know, maybe He's yours personally. Maybe you have ignored Him. You see, if you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, your God's the devil. It's just that simple. And you need to trust in Jesus Christ today and walk with Him. Now, we're going to go just a little bit further here. We're just about out of time, and then we'll come again next time and continue. Verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Remember what I've been talking about? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And then he begins this last section here. And we need to take our time as we enjoy looking at these words. And it shouldn't be all that much joy. It shouldn't be any joy at all if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Because, you see, it should be total and complete fear. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you better tremble. You better be so scared that you can't stand in one place as you're just shaking all over. Because you will stand before the living God. He is to be our judge, or He can be your Savior. You need to trust in Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?